If you're a big picture guy, you better surround yourself with someone that can manage the details if you can't do it. If you're a detailed person, but you're not a planner, you're not a big picture person, you better surround yourself with someone that's a big picture. And every once in a while, you find individuals who can do both things successfully and have the time and want to put the effort into it to be a big picture guy, but also to execute on it and to manage the details. And if you find those folks, what those people have to do is surround themselves with people smarter than them to continue to drive them in that direction.
Welcome to the Law Talk Podcast, where we break down what it takes to succeed at the business of law without sacrificing the life you want. The first season is devoted on increasing value in every case, while also living a life that provides happiness, purpose, and roots that run deep. Before we dive in, a little background. Hollis Wright and Clay is a law firm based in Birmingham, Alabama, with 10 seasoned trial lawyers on staff, a firm built on experience, excellence, and decades of incredible results. With that, we welcome in the managing partner of Hollis Wright and Clay, Josh Wright. Josh Wright, we are three shows in. How are you handling the podcast life?
So far it has been great. I find it refreshing. Uniquely different than the show that we do when we're generally addressing, you know, a specific legal topic, to be able to kind of peel the veil back and talk a little bit about and get back, but talk a little bit about what we've seen that has allowed us to be successful as a law firm over 25 years, to me is refreshing. And I feel like I'm giving back something to some of the other lawyers out there that may be looking for direction, and hopefully we're providing some good. So it's been great.
I do believe we are providing some good. I love the show note that you provided here, right, for this episode and kind of where we're headed. And I'm just gonna just read the statement, because I think it's a perfect jumping off point, a focus, an emphasis, a statement of where you want to head with this show, this episode. A true and genuine commitment to your craft is a blueprint for law firm and personal success. How so?
I think you've got to, in your life and in the practice of law and in running a law firm, you've either got to be all in or you're not.
Right.
And my personality is an all-in personality. And so if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it to the best potential that I can. I'm going to do it as great as I possibly can. And so, you know, a true commitment to your craft is about being the best lawyer you can be. You can be better tomorrow than you are today. And by the way, that's a maxim I live by in life. Be better tomorrow than I am today.
Right.
If you want to be truly committed and all in to being a managing partner, you don't just say one day you wake up and say, I'm going to be a managing partner. I go to seminars to learn how to be a better partner. I talk and poll our lawyers about, hey, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? Let's get better at this. Help me help us get better. So I do think that this show is a good one. It's about being all in and recognizing that if you want to be great at something, whether it's life or practicing law or managing a firm, you've got to commit yourself to that, and you've got to do the things necessary to make sure that you're putting yourself in a position to be the best you possibly can be to be successful.
It does seem as though the greats have a drive, and there's only one Michael Jordan, right? We can't be a Michael Jordan, but you can be the best where you are.
Yeah.
But it is that drive that and I think you do a good job of this, and that is that you see beyond, you see 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, and really even retirement. You see down pretty well. It's important to have a vision and a course that you're charting, rather than just making it up every day.
I think that's so true, right? And having a course on its own with no direction on the rudder, so to speak, isn't all that good either, right? So you've got to kind of have a plan of where you're going and where you see your firm going, where you see your legal practice going, where I see the rest of my lawyers going. Mm-hmm. But you've also got to execute on those, right? Yeah. So it's one thing to talk about, hey, I've got a 5-year plan, I've got a 10-year plan.
And it's easy to do that. It's easy to talk about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. But if you're not executing on some of those things to get you to that plan mm-hmm. and to accomplish that plan, it's great to be a big picture guy, but you got to be a detail guy too. And, right. and that's something I wanted to talk a little bit about on this show. Okay. And you and I've talked, you know, for years about this kind of stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of look at you as a mentor to me. And I think maybe a little vice versa back and forth with each other. Yeah. You know, one of the things I've learned from you, though, that I think is critically important is that when you're trying to manage individuals, you've got to make sure that you're not just a big picture guy where you have a vision of things you want, but that you have to execute too. And what that means is you're big picture, but you also can manage the details. That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a big picture guy, you better surround yourself with someone that can manage the details if you can't do it. Yeah. If you're a detailed person, but you're not a planner, you're not a big picture person, you better surround yourself with someone that's a big picture. And every once in a while, you find individuals who can do both things successfully mm-hmm. and have the time and want to put the effort into it to be a big picture guy, but also to execute on it and to manage the details. And if you find those folks, what those people have to do is surround themselves with people smarter than them to continue to drive them in that direction.
I don't want to go completely off the rails here, but it is interesting because oftentimes I hear and get pushback that showing weakness will limit you. It will take away, especially if you're a managing partner. Yeah. For folks to know you can't do it all. You know, folks want to put up the show, if you will, that I've got all the answers and, you know, I don't have problems. It's you know, and the ego won't allow them to do that. But that really does limit how powerful and how successful in life and in all aspects of life you can be.
I think that's right. You know, I look at it this way. When you show vulnerability, and you know, vulnerability, David, comes in so many different shapes and sizes and colors.
It does,
right? It's not just admitting I made a mistake.
Right.
Sometimes it is saying, I don't know the answer to that. Sometimes it is, I did make a mistake. Sometimes it is, don't quit on me, believe in me, but I got to be better at this. It comes in so many different mm-hmm. ways. But showing vulnerability allows people to build a relationship with you, and vulnerability and relationship together equal trust. Trust is true relationship, right? So I look at vulnerability not just in practicing law, but managing the law firm, and also just kind of generally in life as a positive and a strength, not as a negative. I'm confident enough to recognize that I'm going to make mistakes. I'll tell you a quick story that's a little anecdotal story that I love. So we have one of our lawyers, and you know, I'm not afraid to go to a lawyer and ask them about a research issue. Law's ever changing, and goodness, if you get to the point where you're like, I'm afraid to show vulnerability and ask that lawyer if he knows something I don't know, is he going to think I'm not a good lawyer? That's a bad approach, right? Because the law's ever changing. He may have had a case that impacted the issue mm-hmm. that I need. So sometimes I'll go to our lawyers, though, and I'll already know the answer, but I'll ask them to see how they react to it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll be like, you didn't know that? Like, how do you not know that issue of uninsured motorist coverage? And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, like the law is ever changing. And like, I walk back to my office and smile. I 100% knew the answer to that. I just wanted to see how he would react to that mm-hmm. and wanted to show a little relationship, show a little vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, then those guys are comfortable coming to me and saying, hey, you know, how would you handle this situation? All of a sudden, what do you have then? Now you got a law firm mm-hmm. of people that are melded together, working for a common goal, that are all focused with one another and are not afraid to be honest with each other and raise their hand and say, hey, I don't know the answer to this. That's mm-hmm. totally good, and that's part of running a law firm.
When I first met you, you were growing a busy, fast-growing law firm. You had a young family, and for some crazy reason, you decided to become trial lawyer president. On the other side of this break, let's go back to that because I'm curious. You had that probably was the busiest time of your life, both professionally and personally, and you took this on. The value of that, the reason you jumped in into that. We'll do that on the other side of the break. As we go to break, a reminder, hollis-wright.com is the website. All of the links, everything you need to learn more about Josh, his firm, links where you can share and join us on this journey of the Law Talk podcast. We would really appreciate that. If you can share, spread the word, leave reviews, whatever you can do to help us, we would so greatly appreciate that. Stay tuned. We've got more of the Law Talk podcast coming right up.
Hollis Wright handles cases every day involving someone injured by a distracted or impaired driver. Every single day. If you've been the victim of distracted driving, call us. Our attorneys are standing by. At Hollis Wright, your result matters. Did you know when you have to take a case all the way to trial, there is almost always insurance involved? Don't take on large insurance companies on your own. Our attorneys are standing by right now to give you a free consultation. At Hollis Wright, your result matters.
So with three young kids at home, yeah, and one of the fastest growing law firms in not only the city, but the state of Alabama, even in the South, why did you think, you know what would be a great idea right now? Let me become president of Trial Lawyers Association.
You know, people ask sometimes, if you had to do this all over again, would you go into the legal practice? And the answer to that is yes, because I think it's offered so much. If someone asked me whether or not I would go back through that entire process again, that was a really busy time.
Right.
You know, I think it's a couple things, David. One is, you know, I kind of have had an entrepreneurial spirit. It's why we started this law firm 20-some years ago. You know, an entrepreneurial background is when you are willing to take desire and drive and commitment to convince yourself to say yes when you probably should say no. And Trial Lawyer President was a little bit about the entrepreneurial desire. Now, what did I get out of Trial Lawyer President once I decided, hey, I'm going to go after this, and I'm going to go run for this position, and I want to be the Trial Lawyer President that leads all the lawyers in our state? I got so much out of it. I got so much more out of it than they probably got from me. And so I look back at it fondly, like it was one of the busiest times of my life. I was coaching three different sports. I was running a legal practice. I was managing, and I was becoming a Trial Lawyer President. But man, the stuff that I got out of it. I mean, think about the relationships that I got all across this great state in meeting new people. Think of the legislative work that I was able to do that was a huge component to the success of my legal practice. And in general, you know, Trial Lawyers just was aligned with my thinking, right? They are all about representing those that need representation the most at the worst time in their life. And I was aligned with that. That's why I started this legal journey. That's why I started this law firm 25 years ago, was for that exact reason. So when you look at the alignment and the entrepreneurial spirit and the stuff I got out of it, I look back at it now fondly. Then my wife was about ready to kill me because I was in Montgomery nonstop, and it was a really tough time to manage it all. But boy, was it a great experience now that I look back at it.
How, looking back at that, one other question I've got about it, and that is being able to influence legislation and laws that not only would matter to you, but also matter to attorneys all over the state. It seems as though that would align with your desire to raise the bar and be a part of a solution rather than just complain about a problem.
Yeah, so being Trial Lawyer President also has a legislative component to where you are helping amend bills that are about to become law to the benefit of the clients that we represent and the Trial Lawyers Association. So there's a component of that I really enjoyed. You know, and so ultimately, there aren't a lot of lawyers that are able to say that I was lucky enough to be selected to be president of the Trial Lawyers Association. And I have been involved from the product liability statute that I helped draft the amendment to the Dram Shop Act, which I've assisted in writing that entire act and amending that act. Back in 2021, to co-employee litigation that sits today and the work that I did on co-employee litigation. There aren't a lot of lawyers that have had that opportunity to craft legislation that impacts the people that we represent on a daily basis. And I've been lucky enough to be in that spot to do that. Mm-hmm. So part of the legislative part of being a trial lawyer president was really, really exhilarating for me to have an impact at that level.
Personally, did that position also allow you to separate yourself? And was it an opportunity for you to make a name for yourself and to differentiate yourself from all the thousands of other lawyers that are out there?
No question. And there's a certain reputation that comes with being selected to be the trial lawyer president of all the trial lawyers in the state. Mm-hmm. And so there's no question that there is a reputational advantage to that. But you know what? We've never shied away from making kind of tough decisions and putting ourselves out there to do these types of things. Think about this. 13 years ago, we started a television show to be the professors on TV, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was another mechanism that we used as a law firm to put ourselves out there. And so, you know, I tell our young guys all the time, I want you involved on boards. I want you speaking at CLEs. I want you getting involved in legislative committees for trial lawyers. I want you involved in the National Trial Lawyers. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that the exposure they're getting and the relationships they're building is going to benefit themselves, help build their legacy like I've had the benefit of, but also is going to help our law firm and the people we represent. Mm-hmm. So to me, there's a huge advantage to getting involved.
Let's take a break, but after the break, let's talk about this, and that is what your advice would be to the young, hungry attorney out there who is trying to differentiate himself, you know, from the crowd, but also maybe even some advice to that attorney that has had a few knocks and had some successes. Yeah. How do they stay relevant? Let's get into that. We're taking a break. Just a reminder as we do so, hollis-wright.com. That's the website. Links there. Share this. Reviews are huge. They make a difference more than you could even imagine. So if you like what you hear, tell others about it. You can do that. You'll find all that information on hollis-wright.com. We're taking a break. More of the Law Talk podcast coming right up.
The attorneys, proudly sponsored by the law firm of Hollis Wright, are here to serve you.
When we started the show in 2011, my goal was to do what our firm does best. Help people answer questions related to real-world legal issues they have in their lives in a way that's not intimidating to talk with a lawyer. If the issue is important to you, it's equally important to us, and we're ready to talk with you at no cost.
Yeah, oftentimes people are confronting various legal issues in their lives that really run the gamut of a lot of different legal practice areas, such as bankruptcy, criminal law, civil law, such as personal injury, divorces, domestic relations. And to be able to have a show once a week that covers those practice areas and answers people's questions in those areas, that's really the main objective of the show.
We use the resources of the many lawyers at our law firm to create a plan that has a lasting impact for each person that calls or texts. And we also give back to the community at the same time. We are here to serve you, the viewer, each week on The Attorneys.
I know we have folks joining us who are in the middle of it. And they're just trying to keep their head above water, okay? If you could sit down, and this kind of is like a cup of coffee with Josh Wright, if you could sit down with that attorney, what would you tell them?
Number one, I would tell them to build a database of relationships. Every time I meet someone, whether it's at a casual social event or whether it's in a business setting, I write that information down, I give it to our marketing director, and we add them to our distribution list. And so they may not realize that AI exists. It just happens to be Josh Wright, right? And all of a sudden they start getting our information because they met us. I build a database of relationships. I think that's so critically important for young and even older lawyers. Number two, find a mentor. I had plenty of mentors, and three specifically that I follow around like a dog early on, you know, like a puppy dog, trying to learn from that person and attended CLEs they were speaking at. Picked their brain, called them, had coffee with them, asked questions with vulnerability. You know, I wanted them to think I was a good lawyer, but at the same time, they knew I was young and hungry. and some mentorships. And I'm a big believer. I really am. I know lawyers sometimes get tired of having to attend CLEs. You may not be going to the right CLEs if you're tired of going to CLEs. CLEs are important. And they're important, and I've used them in my practice, to learn areas of law that I may not know. Like, you know, what is the new way to do a closing argument dealing with the following case that's hit the media right now that's against victims or against injured people? Like, how do you do a closing argument? That's a CLE I want to watch and take notes and put it in my folder so that I'm ready the next time that I'm doing a closing argument. So those are just three things that I would explain to him.
All right, so the young buck has an appointment. Yeah. He's got to get up and head back to work, but right behind him comes a fella who been at it 25, 35 years, has some war wounds, some battle wounds of being in the trenches. If you would sit down and have a cup of coffee with him, what would your advice to him be?
You know, I think it'd be a couplefold. One is specialize. You have so much knowledge and so much information, and you've been successful in certain areas of your practice, whether you specialize in workers' comp or you specialize in dram shop litigation or you specialize in probate. Take that specialty and promote it. Mm-hmm. That is a way to re-energize yourself because you know so much more than the average lawyer does about that area. That's number one. Number two, for litigators, attend trial academies. I think it's a huge component. It will re-energize your practice. Mm-hmm. And the third thing I tell you is a piece of advice I got from my dad, which is do not rest on success. If you've had success or maybe you're tired and you think, oh, I really want to wind this thing down, you know, my dad told me from 50 to 60, don't rest on success. Put your foot on the pedal and be relevant in your practice and be relevant in the things that you do as a trial lawyer. Good example, creating a podcast with my friend David Lamb. And be relevant for a reason, right? And how do you become relevant and re-energize? You try new things. And so I'm a big believer if you are at that point, don't rest on success. Go find something new that energizes you in the legal world. To make yourself even more relevant for another decade to come, to go do your thing and be great at what you do.
How better are you at being a managing partner today than maybe a decade ago? And specifically in terms of efficiency and working smarter and not harder, how much have you improved? And are there any tidbits, secrets, or pieces of advice relative to that maturation?
Yeah, so one of the things I've seen is as the firm has grown over the years, managing the firm has become more unwieldy, if you will. And so efficiency is everything. And I'll tell you what I mean by efficiency. Don't reinvent the wheel on the way that we renew contracts. Right, you have a contract database that we've already negotiated these contracts three or four times over the years. Mm-hmm. Delegate responsibility. Let me tell you something. When I go in this law firm and I ask if somebody wants to be, you know, in charge of this marketing effort or in charge of pushing our lawyers to CLEs, I find people are like, "You want me to be involved in management? Absolutely. This is great." Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily delegating, it's involving. There's a big difference. Delegating is taking the credit for everything that you're doing, but getting other people to do it. Getting others involved to build their own brand, to build their own management skills is a critical component. Someday, Josh Wright isn't gonna be managing this law firm and I'm gonna hand it down to someone else, right? Mm-hmm. And those people need to be aware. So efficiency in databases, making sure that you're getting others involved, those are two critical components to the success and what I've seen over 10 years of being able to manage the firm as it's grown.
Where do you see yourself growing as not only a managing partner, an attorney, a leader, kind of moving forward? You just had advice for how to stay relevant for that attorney that's been at it a little while. You've been at it a little while. So where do you see Josh Wright in those terms?
You know, so I'm a big believer that you're only as good as your next case, right? So I don't rest on success, something we talked about earlier in this segment. you know, I have lawyers that have an incredible result, and they should celebrate that. And I get fired up for them just like the rest of our lawyers do. And they're so proud and happy they had this incredible result. And if you ask any of our lawyers, who's the first person to bring you back to, hey, put your nose back down in the books, let's get moving, it's going to be me. And that's not to say we're not promoting and excited about the successes they have. But sometimes when those lawyers have successes, one of the problems is you can go on a tangent and say, well, I had this great success, I'm going to take a month off and not practice law and just go through the motions. That's called resting on success. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. We want to do just the opposite. Now is time to dig in and go help the next client or the next group of clients even more aggressively than you would have originally. Don't rest on success and get moving towards the next great fee, the next great client that you can represent. And so, you know, for me, I'm a big believer of don't rest on success. So I am continually evolving as a lawyer and as a managing partner. I've been speaking. I spoke 4 times last year. I'm going to speak probably 5 times this year on various topics. I've gotten involved in legislation, and I will continue to do that to try and help our trial lawyers association. And, you know, I just think that my focus is to try new and creative things, make good calculated decisions in that, and podcast is a good example of that. That's why I'm really excited to be able to do this. This makes me feel relevant in my practice.
You are a good follow on social media, and one of the things you post about more than anything else is things with your family. Of your kids, you were coaching ball, then playing ball, you all vacationing together, you went to a concert last night. So clearly, yeah, a priority for you is coming up for air and having a little downtime. What does that provide you to where it's almost like you schedule that into your life?
Well, I mean, I think it's part of the full-rounded person, right? We talk in other podcasts about, don't chase being the best out there. You don't have to be the best lawyer. You don't have to try and strive for that. That's exhausting. Mm-hmm. Be the best you can be. Be the best lawyer you can be. Be the best dad you can be. Be the most loyal husband that everyone trusts, you know, that you can possibly be. Like, those, to me, are super admirable qualities. Mm-hmm. And it's part of this kind of all-in mentality, right? And so for me, coming up for air is family, it's wife, it's spending time with my friends. And if I didn't have that, and I was only immersed in my legal practice, you know, I could see you could get burned out. Mm-hmm. So I do think you've got to be able to compartmentalize and balance life along with the practice of law. And that does not mean in today's world that you don't work hard, because we work very, very hard. But when I'm not working, I'm going to be with my family or my friends and hanging out and doing our things.
Yeah, because this is hard work.
That's right. Live to work versus work to live. We've talked about that on previous podcasts too.
So as kind of a closing, we head to the closing argument as we wrap this episode up. So how would you summarize your piece of advice after 25 years of practice in law?
man, we could do a whole podcast just on this here, right? I'd say 2 things. Number one, do not rest on success. If you're having success in an area, don't get complacent and just assume it's always going to be there. Strive to be successful again and again and again and again, and that's called consistency. Mm-hmm. And so strive for consistency, but don't rest on success. The second thing that I would mention that I think is probably the most important thing is a maxim I live by, which is be better tomorrow than you are today. And those two things work together, but I'm only as good as yesterday's client that I had success with. Mm-hmm. I've got plenty more clients down the road. So those two things are critically important, I think, to putting the right perspective on your legal practice, to make sure that you're not resting on success and you're trying to be better tomorrow than you are today, to be the best version of who you can be. That would be, if I had to put it in 25 years experience in a couple points, that would be it right there.
That's a good spot to leave it. And that is where we're going to leave it today. Again, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much. We appreciate you joining us and helping us spread the word. Head to hollis-wright.com and check out the links that are there. Share the shows. Would love you to review and subscribe, whatever platform you prefer. As always, we really appreciate you being with us. Thanks for the time, and we'll see you next time here on the Law Talk Podcast.